Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to serve you. We thank you that, Lord, you have called us and separated us and anointed us and appointed us for such a time as this. Lord, we are your people and we are your vessels. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for first loving us, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Lord, thank you that you were willing to lay down your life for your sheep. Lord, no one took your life from you, but you lay it down willingly because you love us. God, I pray today that you'll anoint us all to understand, to hear, to receive your word. Father, I ask that you would grant me utterance to speak. Lord, that you would speak through me by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. What do you think of when you hear the word surrender? And giving up on the battlefield, your hands raised, I surrender, right? Surrender sometimes has a negative connotation, right? But when it has to do with the Lord, it's the best thing you can do. Because you and I are incapable of saving our own soul, first of all. No amount of meditation, no amount of good works is going to save you and I. Amen? It's not of us. Salvation is not of us, but it's of the Lord. It comes from the Lord. So God wants us to know that in order for us to really enjoy the fullness of life that he came to give us, we have to give up our life in this world. We have to be willing to give up our life in this world. Now, when we hear that, our initial response is like, what do you mean give up my life in this world? Because many of us have our own idea of what life is, usually based upon what we do, you know, what our occupation is, things that we enjoy, entertainment, hobbies, whatever. And so we think that life is just a matter of owning things and doing things and gaining things, right? But life is much more than that. Amen. Life is Jesus Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. So surrendering to the Holy Spirit is the name of the message today. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. When you trust somebody, really trust someone, you're willing to yield to them. You're willing to trust them with, maybe Brother Joe there wants to, hi Joe, I'm going to use Joe again. Joe, would you hold my wallet while I go swimming? Okay, yeah. But if I trust Joe, I would say, okay, go for it, man, you know, right? If I didn't trust him, I wouldn't do that. But are you willing to trust the Lord with your life, with giving him your life? How many know that God's life is actually superior to what we call life? How many know that God's kind of joy is superior to our joy, to human joy? His love is superior to human love. As a matter of fact, a lot of things that we call love are actually not love at all. A lot of the time, the world's kind of love is eros. It's the feeling of love. It's erotica love, right? But it's not actually the highest form of love, which is agape. And that is the love of God. The highest form of love, there is no greater love than this, that a man would give his life for a friend. That is agape love. That is sacrificial love. That is a love that says, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for you. I'm willing to give up my rights that you might have rights. Are you understanding that God's love is superior to the love of man? Right? To get man's love. And so the same thing with peace. We're looking for peace, aren't we? People want to know what peace is and where they can find peace. And so some people think if I just go to the ocean, I'll have peace. You know, or if I get into a certain geographic location, or if the money's just so right and everything is going well in my life, then I can finally have peace. And how many know that you can have trouble on a vacation? Has anybody came home from a vacation and said, man, I'm glad that's over? Well, so what we need is the peace that passes all understanding, that supersedes even human reasoning. We really cannot adequately even express or explain what the peace of God is like. The peace of God is beyond anything we can really put into words to adequately express or to explain. The peace of God is something that you must experience. You must taste and see that God is good. Amen. So, peace, the kind of peace that we really need, the peace that will guard our hearts and our minds and keep us from going crazy in a crazy world, is the peace of God. It's the peace of God that will keep you. Amen. A lot of people are committing suicide because they don't know how to get into the peace of God. They don't know how to receive even from God. So they're looking for peace in all the wrong places, sometimes trying to just get high or get stoned or get drunk or whatever, or sex or something else. People are looking for ways to find peace. Amen. And yet in this world, you really never have the true peace, because the true peace comes from the Creator. Amen. Comes from God Himself. It's a supernatural peace. It's a supernatural joy. It's a supernatural love. It's higher than the world's love. And the world's peace, the world's joy. Amen. So if you want to know true joy, true peace, true love, then you need to know Him who is true joy, true peace, true love. Jesus is all those things. Only the Lord in you can bring you true satisfaction. Only God can fill up the emptiness of our lives, of our souls. When I was in the world, I was constantly trying to fill my life up with things and people and relationships and partying and all these things. I was trying to fill that void, that emptiness, but it seemed like I was just like a bag full of holes. And the more I'd pour in, the more it leaked out. And I had to continually try to look for other ways and things to try to satisfy something that was lacking, something that was missing in my heart. And what was missing was that relationship that man knew in the very beginning when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Prior to the fall, I can say today that my life is full because I have Christ in me, and I'm learning how to surrender, how to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. In other words, you can live in the Spirit, have the Spirit in you, and yet not walk in the Spirit. So that's why sometimes Christians are not living victorious, because they're not realizing or understanding how they can get a hold of this peace that God makes freely available to them. And sometimes people are trying through their works and through their good deeds and through the things that they do to try to fill up an emptiness within them. And even your works are not going to satisfy you. Amen. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? How much value can you put on your soul? Your soul is eternal. You and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. And according to the Bible, there are two ways. There's a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. And narrow, difficult, confined is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus. He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that road. Many go the easy road. I want to begin today with kind of setting a little foundation for this message in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10. And you may be saying, well, what does this have to do with surrendering to the Holy Spirit? Well, hold on, okay, because we're going to get to that. So Jeremiah 30, verse 10, therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob. Jacob is what? Israel. Says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. This is a promise from the Lord, amen, to his ancient people, his covenant people, Israel, that they were going to have a land and that they were going to, in time, return to this land. Jeremiah 32, 37, behold, I will gather them, who? The Jewish people, out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in my great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. How many know that the fear of the Lord will keep you from backsliding? So this again is a promise that God gave to the nation Israel, that he was going to bring them back to this land of promise from all the nations to where they had been dispersed. And how many know that this is actually going on right now as I speak? The people from all over, the Jews from all over the world are now returning to the land. Now, the reason why that's possible is because Israel became a nation, remember, in May 14th, 1948. It was miraculously reborn, just as God had promised. And why is this important? Because Jesus, the Messiah, is going to return to that land. Amen. And he's going to establish his throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign over all the earth from that little piece of land over there, insignificant little piece of land over there called Israel. Amen. Such a small little nation, but God has chosen that to be the seat of his reign. He's coming. He's going to return. Just as Jesus ascended, the angel said, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, as you've seen going into heaven, will again come what? In like manner. Jesus is coming. He's going to return just like he promised to come. Amen. So today we are in the time of preparation for the return of our great King. Amen. So also remember on December 6, 2017, how many remember this? President Donald Trump announced that the U.S. would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. All this is very significant. This is a fulfillment of what was written before in prophecy. Amen. That there would be a land and then Jerusalem would be restored as what? The capital. Now concerning Jesus the Messiah, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. This is the birth of Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government will what? Be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, there it is. Where's that? Jerusalem. And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, just as there is a national Israel that God has given specific promises to, amen, that they would receive that land, that would be a gift, amen, to them. It would be their own possession. So there is also a spiritual Israel made up of Jew and Gentile. Aren't you glad? So there is the national Israel and the covenants and the promises made to them, amen. And there is also now the spiritual Israel made up of both Jew and Gentile, who are one in Messiah, in Jesus Christ. Amen. So now in Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The only way we can approach God is by the blood of Jesus. Amen. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation between what? Jew and Gentile, right? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, in who? In Christ, One new man from the two, thus making peace. Hallelujah. So the promises that were given to Abraham also come upon those of us who are in Christ. Amen. Because Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham was given these promises before the law of Moses. Amen. And Abraham believed God and therefore was justified. Amen. Was declared righteous because he believed. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. Amen. So God is not a respecter of persons. Can you say amen? So this is the new covenant in Jesus' blood. For you are all sons, Galatians 3:26, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is, here it is, verse 28, neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is talking about spiritual new birth and being united together in Christ. Amen? All right? And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Oh, and heirs according to the promise. For he is not a Jew, listen, who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Who are the true Jews? Those who are united together in Christ. We are God's people. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about replacement theology that God has cast his people away. Okay, because sometimes we can get this idea, well, that means that God no longer has a purpose for Jew. No, that's not true, because we know that God has set everything in order and is setting everything up right now. Amen. To establish Jerusalem as the seed of David. Amen. As Christ will come and reign from that place. Amen. But we have to make a distinction between national Israel and spiritual Israel. The church is the spiritual Israel of Jew and Gentile that have come together. Amen. And we can also receive the blessings that God has given to national Israel simply because we have been grafted into Christ in the olive tree. Hallelujah. So here it is again, verse 29. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. In other words, we can't boast, we can't take credit for what God has done. God did this. It was God's plan from the very beginning. Amen? It was God's plan for salvation. It was God's plan that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Amen? It was God's plan that he, the Son, amen, would become, hallelujah, the Son of Man. All right? That the Word would become flesh. That Jesus Christ, amen, would come to this earth. Hallelujah. To live a sinless life. Hallelujah. To bear the sins of the world. Hallelujah. That God would lay upon him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. So through faith in Christ, we could receive the forgiveness and the mercy of God. We being the guilty ones, amen, who deserved death. Hallelujah. Jesus took our place at the cross. Hallelujah. So we could go free. Praise the Lord. That's why we have a debt of love that we owe him the rest of our lives. To live for him, to honor him, to bless him. Amen. And to make him known that people need to know that God has offered them forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And it's not of us. You cannot save yourself. Jesus said, if you will save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. What he's talking about, he's talking, you need to surrender and give your life to me. And I'll give you my life. Exchange the old for the new. Exchange death for life. Amen. Exchange darkness for light. Come to Christ. Hallelujah. He is the hope of the world. He is the only hope for the world. Hallelujah. And there will not be peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Amen. Until the Prince of Peace returns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Circumcision. What was circumcision when the flesh, right? It was an outward sign, really, of the covenant that God made with Abraham. So circumcision represents being separated, being set apart for God. The Jewish people were to be different. They were not to be like the world or the nations around them. Why? Because the Jewish people were to represent God in the earth. Amen. They were to be an example of what God was like. And but man in himself does not have the capability, amen, of living a holy life. So they did good for a while, but then they would fail again and they would bring this reproach upon the Lord. Amen. The Lord would have to punish them. And over this cycle, they went through this cycle, amen, where they come to national awakening and revival, amen, and prosperity. And then they got into complacency and apathy, amen. And then back into bondage again. And God had to, right, had to wake them up. Hallelujah. And bring them back. All right. And that's been the pattern throughout history. Amen. It's like this gerbil wheel, this cycle. Amen. And God's saying it's time to get off the gerbil wheel. Amen. And get established in Christ. He's the only one that can keep it together for you. The Lord can keep that which he possesses if you're willing to surrender your life. And I mean surrender your life to him. Then you will know the life of God. You will know the superior joy and the love and the peace of God. You'll know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you'll delight yourself in the Lord because you realize that this world cannot hold a candle to what God is offering us. The Lord truly is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. A new birth is really the circumcision of the heart, where our lives become set apart for the Lord now. If you're born again, you've been set apart already. Amen? However, it's possible to live in the Spirit, but not walk in the Spirit. Now, this is where it really comes down to being a disciple or a follower of Jesus or not. You can be in the Spirit, you can receive the Spirit, but not necessarily walk in the Spirit. God wants us to walk with him. God wants us to follow him. Amen. God wants to lead our lives. God wants to, amen, take us with him on the journey of life, because God's plans are superior to our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. Would you agree with me that God's ways are much better than our ways? Has anybody ever regretted saying yes to Jesus? Has anybody ever regretted saying, Lord, I will follow you? But there are many in hell that have refused to bow their knee and refused to follow Jesus. And they have eternal regrets because in the hour and the time, the opportunity that God was giving them, they refuse to turn to God. I know we hate to hear about that place called hell, but the Bible talks more about hell than heaven. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. Because hell is a real place. And it's for this reason that Jesus came, because he didn't want people to go to that place. Why? Because man was born sinful, and because man is sinful, he cannot stand in the presence of the holy God. And the only way that you and I can be qualified to stand in the presence of the holy God is by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That would cleanse us and qualify us to be able to come confidently now to our Father's throne. Hallelujah. So God did not want mankind to perish. That's why Jesus suffered. That's why he died. Amen. Because he didn't want you and I to go to hell. He wanted to spare us. And so he took that upon himself, that we could go free. You see, we cannot produce the kind of fruit God accepts apart from him. Now hear me. If our service to the Lord is not birthed from the Spirit of God, it's not acceptable to him. If our service to the Lord is not birthed from him, it's not acceptable to him. God accepts that which he approves. And his will he approves. So when we abide in him and we submit ourselves to the will of God, he approves that. Because apart from him, remember Jesus said, you can do nothing. So the fruit that is acceptable is the fruit of God's Spirit. As Christ is in me and living his life through me, because I am yielding my will to his will to allow the life of Christ to dwell and to flow through my life. Is that making sense? You have to be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not just doing good things. The world does good things. But the good things that we are to do are the good things that are birthed in God, the things that God is motivating us by His Spirit to do, amen, that are in agreement with His will. And whatever we do according to the will of God is already blessed. So we need to find out what God is doing and do that, and it's already blessed. God approves that which He ordains. Psalms 127:1, I love this. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. You know, a lot of churches are just about building programs and doing a lot of things and spending a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort doing things that sometimes are not really to glorify the Lord, but glorify the pastor or glorify somebody. Amen. How many know that everything we do should glorify the Lord? Amen. We should do it as unto the Lord. Amen. And not unto man. There's nothing wrong with having nice buildings. Amen. But if Christ is not the center, if He's not the purpose, if He's not the reason, if He's not the main event, come on. We've missed the whole point of it. We're just playing church. If we don't have the presence of God, there's no point. Might as well shut the doors, because all you are is a glorified social club. Amen. I hunger and I thirst for the presence of the Lord. It's all about Holy Spirit. It's all about the Lord in me. The Holy Spirit is God in us on earth. He is the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is here. He is among us. He is in us. Amen. But if we miss the Lord in everything that we do, we've missed the main point. And there's no fruit, no lasting fruit. And the good things that I do that are not the right things that God approves of. In other words, I can spend my life doing good things and miss the will of God. Is this making sense? People do good things because good things make people feel good sometimes. Amen. But the good things that God accepts are the things that He's told you to do, not what somebody else told you to do. Sometimes we can get manipulated into doing things. We can get pressured into doing things. I try not to ever do that here. I pray that God will move on your heart. He'll stir your heart. He'll wake you up and He'll put in you His desire. Amen. His holy desire. Because if we can get people to really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He's going to work in them both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. You don't have to. It's not like pulling teeth. Amen. People will just start coming alive, and all of a sudden God will begin to move in their hearts and begin to motivate their hearts in a certain direction or for a certain thing. Amen. So it's got to be birthed in the Holy Spirit. It's of Him. When we sing, when we praise, when we worship up here, our prayer, our goal, our desire is to touch the heart of God. Amen. It's to touch Jesus. When you touch Jesus, you touch life. When you pray and you pray according to the will of God, you touch the heart of God. Amen. And there's life. A prayer meeting that is birthed in the Spirit is not a boring prayer meeting. If your prayer time is boring, it means you're not touching the heart of Jesus. But if you ask anything according to His will, He delights in that. And you'll have that. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He didn't say, oh, because I went to school and I got a degree and because I'm just such a fantastic, charismatic individual or none of that. Paul had all that going for him. He had all the credentials, right? The Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was well taught. But when he came to and met Jesus face to face, it changed everything. What he thought he wasn't all that much anymore. When he saw the King of Glory, amen. He had a humbling experience. Come on, you can't meet Jesus and not be humbled by that. And so Paul understood. He says, it's no longer I. And by the grace of God, I am what I am today. It's because of the work of God in my life. And it's because of the grace of God that he's given to me. I'm able to do what I do. Listen to what he said. He says, his grace towards me was what? Not in vain. But I labored, listen to it, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was with me. I labored more abundantly than them all. But not I, he said, but the grace of God in me. You and I can spend ourselves and burn out easily because we can get busy with doing all kinds of even good things, right? But if it's not by the grace of God and the will of God, you're just going to spend yourself for nothing. Because the only thing that is acceptable to God is the will of God. And you cannot know the will of God until you know the mind of God. And you cannot know the mind of God until you know the Spirit of God in you. Christ in you. That's why we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit that is given to us. When we say Lord, well, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty. Freedom from what? From bondage, from legalism, from sin. Amen. Self-performance. Hallelujah. We hook up with Jesus. We yoke up with Jesus. And we do life together with Jesus. And he gives us the strength, the ability, amen, to do his will and to do it with delight. When you're in the will of God, you will be revived in your spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will be revived. You'll be alive. He said, here is, it's not me, but it's the grace of God which was with me. So what was he doing? Well, he wasn't relying upon his own soul power. Some people have a lot of self-will. Some people have strong will, amen? And they use their soul power to accomplish many things. And there's nothing wrong with having strong will unless it's not submitted to God's will. Then it's a disaster. So God wants us to take that strong will and submit it to his will. Amen. And God can use us, hallelujah, as he energizes us, as he quickens us, as he empowers us by his Holy Spirit to do his will. And we can do it with very little effort because it will be not I, but the Spirit of God working in and through my life. Hallelujah. I've learned that if I can just relax a little bit in the Holy Spirit, I can accomplish a whole lot more than I can by trying to make things happen. Most of us know what that's like, right? We're excited about Jesus and we're going to make things happen for God. Spending ourselves here and there and trying to figure out. And sometimes that's just part of the process of growing and learning, right? You got to make some steps, all right? At least step out. Praise God for people that are willing to step out for Jesus, right? But think about it. Human nature always wants to help God. We think God needs our help. You know, Abraham tried to accomplish in the flesh what God had promised to do for him supernaturally, to give him a son, right? And so we had a problem, don't we? We still have a problem going on today because he had relations with Hagar, right? And that was not God's plan. God wanted Sarah to be, amen, the mother of that child called Isaac, which means laughter. Son of laughter. But Ishmael represents the man of the flesh. That which was produced by the flesh man or the sin nature. Are you hearing me, somebody? And so God does not want us to operate in the sin nature, but in the new nature. God wants us to function from his Spirit and by his Spirit. So the life that we're living is in submission to the Holy Spirit who empowers us and even gives us a motivation in our hearts to know what God expects of us. And as you know, as you step out and you begin to do what God is pressuring, sometimes prompting you to do, and sometimes we're a little hesitant to do what God's telling us to do. But once we step out and we do what we really feel God is telling us to do, oh, we're so glad we did. Because there's joy in serving the Lord, isn't there? When you're serving the Lord according to His will, there is joy in your life. I have never found the will of God to be grievous, to be a burden in the sense, a grievous burden. But I found the will of God to be a delight and a joy. Huh. How I need to maintain my spiritual freedom. Because my flesh cannot please God. My own corrupt nature, right, cannot please God. There's two parts of you. When you're born again, you still have that old nature, don't you? And then you have that new nature. And they're in conflict. There's a war going on. Who's going to be in charge? And that's why we're taking this time to pray and fast and trying to get control over that outer man, that old nature, amen, and put him back in his place, hallelujah. And while we're doing this, we're feeding our spirit and building up our spirit man, amen, through the word and through prayer, hallelujah, through, amen, fellowship in the Holy Spirit, through praise. And as you do that, you become more keenly aware of the Lord's presence and you begin to hear His voice more clearly. Because you are setting yourself apart for Him and you're denying that outer man, that outer part of you, that other part that wants to be, do its own thing independent of God. And see, the flesh always resists the spirit. So as soon as you try to do something for God, the flesh is saying, I don't want to do that. Your spirit man in you is crying out for the life of Jesus, but your flesh is saying, I don't want to pray. And so it's a matter of who's going to win, who's going to be in charge, who you're going to allow to be Lord, you or the Lord Himself. And so we have to decide, Lord, whatever it takes, I want you to be Lord. I want you to be Lord of my life. We have to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit in order to live the life that we're called to live, to be the people we're called to be. It's not just me acting like a good Christian. How many know that you can come to church and act like a good Christian? I remember going to a minister's meeting one time and one of the brothers says, I said, hey, brother, how's it going? He says, oh, I'm doing great. And then he says, I said that because I'm supposed to. He was joking. But I said that because I'm supposed to. You understand what I'm saying? We say certain things because that's Christianese. That's how we flow and what we want people to believe about us. Amen. Now, I don't suggest that we go around saying, well, let me tell you how bad it is, right? We want to be authentic at the same time. Amen. And we don't have to vomit on everybody around us with our own stuff, right? But we need to also be in a place where, you know what? I need more. I need some prayer. I need some backup. I need some brothers and sisters to come and pray for me right now. I'm going through a struggle right now. And maybe I'm struggling with Amalek, that outer man, that old flesh man. Amen. And I need to put that Amalek to death. Amalek was an enemy of Israel, see, in the natural. But it represents the flesh. And he said, have nothing to do with it. You need to put Amalek completely out. You need to put him to death. That's what Paul is meaning when he said, I die daily. He said, I have to die to me. I have to die to that old nature. I have to not allow that old nature to be in control. I have to feed myself and pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And be built up in the faith. Hallelujah. Through the word and through the spirit. Amen. And through fellowship and getting together with God's people as often as I can. Amen. Because that other Amalek, that other outer man is always trying to pull me away. And that part of you is the one that gets seduced by the world to draw you away, little by little. So it's time to hit the reset and say, you know what? I'm getting off track. I've lost focus. I've lost sight of what I'm doing, what I'm going, where I'm doing. It's time to get back. Get recalibrated. Amen? Shut everything out. Shut everything off. Cut it out. Amen? Anything that's going to hinder you in any way. Amen? from really discovering and knowing the heart of God for your life and the will and the purpose of your life, because we have a certain opportunity right now, a certain window of time to accomplish what God has called us to do. And now is no time to waste time. Now is no time to waste time. We don't have a lot of time left. Let's get our priorities straight again. Let's seek first the kingdom of God again. Let's put the Lord first in everything. Oh, we're getting together. Let's get together. Come on, somebody. Not out of legalism. Not out of manipulation. Or if you don't. But it's because I want to. Because I should. Because I need to be an example to my brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes, how many know the Christian life is not doing what you feel like doing? But it's doing what you know is right. Because I am responsible for this body, amen? This body doesn't carry me around. I tell the body what to do. And I tell the body, you know what? It's time to get out of bed. It's time to pray, all right? It's time to crack the word, all right? Get into the word. I have to tell myself, amen, you're going to go to church today, somebody. Say amen. Amen. I'm sure I made some friends and influenced some people on that one. I'm not trying to be mean, guys. It's because I care. And I know that, guys, it's not just for us, but it's we do this for one another. You know? Jesus wants us to walk in his love, and his love is not just about what I get. It's like, what can I do to help somebody else out in their walk? I find that when I pour into others, God pours into me. I find that when I, amen, do what God shows me to do, then he satisfies me with himself. You're never disappointed when you say yes to the Lord. Okay. So how do we maintain our freedom in the Lord? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Philippians 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision, who's that? The church, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Do you rejoice in the Lord? And have no confidence in the flesh. No self-confidence. This is contrary to the world. The world says you lack self-confidence. Jesus says your problem is you're too self-confident, and your confidence is not in God, who is able to empower your life. Amen. Otherwise, you're on your own. You're relying upon your own soul power to do what's right. And how many know you can only do right for so long in your own soul power? You can only live right to a certain degree by your own soul power. Amen. That's why we need the power of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will empower us to live a life, amen, that is clean, that is pure, that is holy. We can only be an example for the Lord as we abide in the Lord. So his life is seen through us. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, I've said this before, but I want to visit this again. If I rule over my corrupt nature by the power of the Holy Spirit, then the devil cannot touch me. It's not about, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil. It's like, oh, me. I need to get control of this. Amen. And I do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables me to control myself. Come on, somebody. That's how I maintain my freedom in Christ, is by walking in the Spirit, by abiding in the Spirit, by being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit every day, walking in him, amen, relying upon his ability in my life, hallelujah, learning how to die to myself by making deliberate choices to deny that part of me that would rebel against what the Spirit is saying in my heart. And the more that I obey the Spirit and deny the flesh, the stronger I become spiritually and the less power my flesh has over me. Right? Because we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in order to live free and to maintain our freedom from legalism and from sin. Colossians 3:5 says, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world." That word "put to death" means completely subdue. So I need to completely subdue my flesh, that earthly part of me that wants to live independent of God, so that I may walk in the Spirit and please the Lord and bear the good kind of fruit that pleases the Father. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you," there it is again, "completely subdue or put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." John 15:2, Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." So because the Lord has set me free from the law of sin and death, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Can you say amen? Amen. So now my responsibility, because I've been set free by the power of God, amen, through the blood of Christ, I've been sanctified or set apart, I've been circumcised in heart by the Spirit of God. Now my responsibility is to enforce in my life what Jesus has already accomplished for me at the cross. Because the power of God is available to us who are His children. He didn't leave us as orphans, amen. He said, "I will come to you," amen. And He's come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who gives us the ability to overcome ourself. And if we will overcome ourself, the enemy will have no place, no access to us. He cannot touch us. We surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Giving up the fight. Just because we're delivered out of bondage doesn't mean that we're exempt from temptation. You know that. Or the potential to fall away from God. So we must remain vigilant as the people of God, because we're at war with the flesh and the devil. How many know the devil is really out to get you? Make no mistake about it. Christian, the devil is out to get you. You need to watch yourself. You need to guard your heart. You need to stay in the Holy Spirit. You need to stay armored up. Amen. You need to stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Stay with the Holy Spirit every day. Amen. Because that's going to be the strength of your life. It's the Lord who is the strength of your life. It's the Lord who will help you through. And you can do all things through Christ who is your strength. That's why Peter said, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." I've known some people that were Christians for many years, and I've seen them slip away. I've seen people fall hard because they did not maintain themselves. They did not control themselves because they quit relying upon God and started trusting that in themselves they were able to do the right thing. See, the devil's a seducer. He's trying to seduce you away from your relationship with the Lord by offering you cheap counterfeits and other things that can come in to try to satisfy something in you that only Christ can satisfy. That's why people get choked sometimes. Even Christians get choked by the things of the world, and they get into a place where now they can't be satisfied, and they're just doing more and more things to try to be satisfied, to feel good about themselves, or to fill up an emptiness in their heart that only Christ can fill. And only He can satisfy you. So we have to really guard ourselves against the seducer who comes, amen, not with horns and a red tail, all right? But he comes as an angel of light, offering you an easy way, a shortcut, questioning, did God really mean what He said? Oh, certainly you don't need to be that serious about the Word of God. I believe God means what he says in this word. And I believe that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it's the fear of the Lord that's going to keep you from backsliding. Amen. And we need the fear of the Lord in us. We need to understand that this is serious business. Because every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But if you're bearing fruit, he's going to prune you so you're going to be even more fruitful. How many know that God is looking for fruit from his people? Amen. So what is our main focus? Bible study? No. Church service? Song service? Friends? Pastors? No. Our main focus has to always be Jesus. Amen. Do you know people do come for all those reasons? They come, that's my favorite preacher, and that's my favorite worship team, or that's my favorite this, and oh, they're really comfortable seats in that church, and I like the way they decorate the church, and I'm there to see my best friends go there, so I go there because my best friends go there. And they're not going for Jesus, they're going for all these other things. How many know you can go to church and miss the main point of church, and that is to have an encounter with Jesus, to know Jesus, amen, to receive from the Lord, and to offer him praise that he deserves. So, if in all of our doing we miss Jesus, we've missed the main point, all right? Yeah. You want to know why many people, they go to church all the time and they never seem to change? You want to know why? Because they're going for the wrong reason. Because they're going because I like the music or I like the preaching. Or I like this, or I like that, or I like Joe, and I like Sally. They're going for all these reasons. Are you hearing me? And so if our hearts are not really open to the Spirit of the Lord, we're not going to be changed. There are people that'll come, and they'll sit, and they'll look around and wonder what Joe's doing over there. Hi, Joe. Sorry. But you know, we should be sitting down and say, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, we're here for you. Lord, we want to meet with you today, and we want to be an example for our brothers and sisters to also desire to meet with you, because you're the only one that can change my heart. You're the only one that can change my life. Amen. There is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are few who find that way, that life. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Guys, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We wait on you, Lord.